Amen. Don't you love him tonight? I just love that song. Just a reminder, we sang that song, that last one about his blood, but the Lamb of God, which we're going to go over tonight, the first couple of scriptures, or we're going to go back to a couple of scriptures that talks about the Lamb of God. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for the Lamb of God and your blood that has washed all our sins away. Amen. And just a reminder, wash them. You can be seated if you'd like. But don't forget to have you seated. It's amazing that his blood, like that song said, has washed our sins away and that we're whiter than snow. Because sometimes I don't feel like I'm whiter than snow. How about you? But knowing by faith that I am whiter than snow, that is amazing. I don't get it. I don't quite understand. I still can't quite grasp it. How about you guys? But yet by faith, I trust and believe that even in my struggles, that my sins, that it, before God, I'm whiter than snow. Amen? You can't get much whiter than snow, can you? I'm just trying to think of an example of something whiter than snow. And I really can't think of anything. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. And it's upon us. Does it feel like Christmas yet to you? Me and my wife are saying it doesn't. We've been busy with Christmassy stuff, but it doesn't quite feel like Christmas. But nevertheless, even by faith, we're going to celebrate Christmas regardless of how we feel. By the way, next Wednesday, we're not going to have a service. It's in between Christmas and New Year's, okay? Forgive me of that, but I don't want to study that week if you're okay. I was telling Emily, I'm going to take a break from that. Amen. I love studying. I love studying. I just don't want to next week. Can you put me up just a smidget? Thank you, Kenny, just a smidget. Does anybody know what session we're on or in? Session eight, and we are feeling great. Amen? Amen. Does anybody know what chapter we're on now? No. We're now in chapter two. and I think we'll probably move along more quickly now through the chapters. Now that we're past chapter one. Matter of fact, we're going to start out tonight going back to a couple of verses in chapter one. And Gina singing that song about the Mary, did you know about the perfect lamb, right? I don't remember the words. But I know we're going to talk about the lamb a little bit tonight. And we're going to talk about a wedding. And we're going to talk about a bride. Did you know, whether you're a male or female in this room, that you're part of the bride of Christ? Now, if you think about it in the natural, that would creep you out if you're a guy, right? But in the spirit, not as far as a marriage like we know between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, but even as if you're a man, you are part of the bride of Christ. We belong to him. And maybe we'll get a chance tonight to talk about you or, you know, in some cultures, in ancient days or even cultures today, there's a dowry paid for the bride. And I'm telling you, there was a great dowry paid for you and I. The ultimate price was paid for you and I to be purchased and become the bride of Christ. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to have to back up. And this is chapter 2 out of the New American Standard Bible. By the way, have I mentioned why I use the NASB to you guys? It's a word-for-word, you know, translation of the Bible. But it's considered the most accurate, believe it or not, by many theologians and those that study Greek and Hebrew. And for me, it's just an easier read. Nothing wrong with the King James. I love the King James. I don't like the King James, actually. I don't mind the New King James. And I was raised that if you didn't read, you read the King James, or everything else was a perversion. There is the version, and then everything else is a perversion of the Word of God. But you know, that's not true. I love the King James, but 400 years ago, and you know that scholars 400 years ago, God bless them, King James is a great, I would never discount the King James or say that it's not accurate, but there's some things that they've also added in there that I didn't know for years that stumbled me. As an example, Romans 8, I'm going to read it so I don't misquote it. And this isn't even where I was going to go. Sorry, guys. New American Standard says, therefore, there is now no condemnation at all to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the loss of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law, sin, and death. Can you say hallelujah? But if you go to the King James on that, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And for years, that tripped me up. And because I said, well, I can't walk in the Spirit because I'm always walking in the flesh. So that little addition right there that wasn't in the original manuscripts or the older manuscripts we have now really tripped me up. And I would use it against people. People with habits. People with struggles. So you're walking in the flesh. So you can't expect to get anything from God. Well, gosh, you're just back in condemnation. That's just walking according to the law. That's walking towards a list of do's and don'ts. Amen? And of course I want to walk in his true righteousness and grow in him and have things that are my struggles peel off as I grow in him. Amen? But when that addition right there tripped me up for years. Then I find out it's not even in the original manuscripts. Or it wasn't even so. New American Standard Bible, as an example, doesn't have that portion there. And all I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. And there's some other examples as well. One of them being where they said that the disciples said to Jesus, why couldn't we cast this out, this spirit? And they added in there, which is not in the New American Standard Bible, this only come out by prayer and fasting. That's not in the original. So nothing wrong with prayer and fasting, but it can totally change the meaning or your concept or your authority in Christ. Now, hey, fasting, prayer, that can mean a lot of different things. Amen? Fasting from social media sometimes is not a bad thing for me. Amen? But I've also been in my own religious mindset, I'm not going to say even from the church, although it probably was, is, gosh, to be pleasing to God, how many times a week or how often am I fasting? And that's a trap you can get in as well. Although fasting, you know, in the right circumstances, if God's called you to that, and there's examples of it in Acts, but in Paul's letters, he never hardly ever mentions fasting as far as our part of our walk with the Lord. Did you know that? He talks about his many fastings and the things he did, but as far as our relationship with the Lord, he does not once say, hey, if you want to get victory over this, or if you want to get some insight, fast. Although God may say to you to fast. Why am I saying that? Because it was something that was added that wasn't in another manuscript that just totally changed the meaning of that. Amen? Okay, I'll come back out of the rabbit hole on that one. But that's good stuff, I think. I want to say in John chapter 2, starting on verse 1. Let me start. I want to say this first. Did you know you can read these passages, these chapters, and a matter of fact, the passage we're going to read, you could just read that and get out of it. This was Jesus' first miracle. Jesus was at a wedding. He turned water into wine. But as I begin to read this, I'm telling you, and I had a message with John chapter 2 that I could have preached in a Sunday morning service that I ended up never doing that. But I'm bringing up some of those things that I gleaned from that chapter tonight that you could read things. And actually, they have symbols in there as I'm going to explain it. And it can actually mean much more. It can mean much more than what you would read in the natural. And I'll give you an example tonight. There, it says, verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And see, for me, as I was reading this, it was like the Holy Spirit said, stop! Because we're reading this 2,000 years later, amen? And we know the Holy Spirit put every word in there that we're reading for purpose. And it says, on the third day. Well, why do I care 2,000 years later on the third day if he went to a wedding? Amen? Why do I care? So what I did is I digressed in the chapter 1 and looked at some things. So I want to say that numbers are very symbolic in the Bible, by the way. Christ rose on the third day. Amen? God said it could have said he's going to raise the next day. God could have said he's going to raise in 7 days, the perfect number. He could have said whatever, but he said on the third day, my son will be risen from the dead with great power. Amen. You think of like other things that are in groups of three. How about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Those are three. Amen. They are one, but yet they are separate individuals. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a person, by the way. He's not a, what's the word I'm looking for? He's not a mist or shadow. He can be, yes, he can be everywhere at once, but yet he's a person, amen? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Comforter after I leave, who's going to reveal me to you, that person in the Holy Spirit, amen? So numbers are very symbolic in the Bible. Christ rose on the third day. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How about we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Amen? Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. You and I are spirit, soul, and body. Three. And then there's numbers, other numbers of God has used. How about the number 7? Amen? The perfect number. He says, you walk around Jericho once every day, and on that final day, you're going to walk around it. How many times did he say? 7 times. And for whatever reason, God says, you're going to walk around that 7 times. Then you're going to blow the trumpets. You're going to shout, and the walls of Jericho are going to come tumbling down. Amen? So he said the third day. So I just went back into chapter 1 and looked at what it said on the first day. So if he said third day, that there was a reason. In that scripture being going back a little ways, John 1:29 says the next day, but this is actually the first day if you'd read the context of the whole chapter. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. The Lamb of God. We sang about the Lamb of God. Amen. What was the purpose of the Lamb? I know they're cute. They're sweet. They make nice little noises, right? But what was the purpose of the Lamb? It says God's precious Lamb. That Lamb he's talking about, was the purpose of that Lamb was to be slain, to be killed. You know, during the time in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, they would take a lamb and bring it to the priest, and they would put their hands on that lamb and transfer their sin from the family or the group or the individual to that lamb. And then what was the next thing they did? Killed that lamb. They killed that lamb because of sin, there has to be an atonement. There has to be somebody to pay the price for sin. See, God being perfect and holy, in heaven, everything's perfect and holy. We've had Wednesdays where we talked about how holy and perfect God is. Amen? Sin can't dwell in his presence. It dies. It withers. It won't exist. Amen? That's why Satan was cast out of heaven. Even Jesus saying, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from the sky. As sin was exposed and Satan, his prideful heart, and he was cast out with his angels from heaven. Sin can't dwell with heaven. God can't have communion with sin. So something had to take the place, and it was a lamb, the way he set up, a lamb that took the place of you and I. Amen? That cute little lamb had to pay the price. But the most precious lamb at all freely gave his life, amen, and even knew what was coming, and yet gave his life freely as the Lamb of God, perfect. The lamb in the Old Testament had to be without blemish, amen? It had to be, there could not be a single blemish. It had to be perfect, could not be blind, could never have had a bone to be broken. so many different points of things of inspection on that lamb. And then if it was determined to be perfect, then it could be sacrificed. Amen. And so God walking on this world, in this world in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for 33 and a half years, and the world didn't even put one spot on him. Not one sin. Not one bad attitude. Not one bad thought. Perfect. Remained spotless for 33 years. Being rejected by man. Being rejected by his own brothers. Being rejected by the religious leaders. Pretty much only those who came, really who came to him is people that were in need to perhaps use Jesus. Remember when he fed the 5,000 and then they followed him and said, we want to make you king. Well, why was it? Well, he made food out of nothing. Well, we got to stick around with this guy. This dude has something to offer. So basically just using Jesus. But Jesus was no pushover, was he, that perfect lamb? It's interesting what he said to that group, because he took a little trip across the waters and cast devils out of the gentleman that had a legion of demons, and they came back. He came back and they said, "Where have you been? We've been looking for you. We're hungry again." And that's when he said, "Hey, if you want to be with me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Boy, he cleared out the whole crew right away. And it was only his disciples that were left. And he said to them, are you going to leave also? And they said to him, Jesus, where else do we have to go? We don't understand this crazy thing you said, but we have no place else to go. We're committed. We've given you our lives. Come hell or high water, we're not going anywhere. Those that were using Jesus Christ to feel better. You see, Jesus Christ isn't something just to feel better. Amen. He's not somebody just to cleanse us of our sins, but he's the one that's made us right with God, who's purchased us, and we're going to be with him forever. Amen? Sometimes people will come to the Lord because they want to just get out of their situation, get out of their pain, which Jesus Christ will do, but it's so much more. He was the lamb that was slain, that purchased us, that adopted us, that made us born again, amen, that filled us with his Holy Spirit, that puts purpose in us, that directs our lives, that says, hey, go this direction, I'm leading you. No, don't go that way. He leads us and directs us by his voice, so much more than just comfort. Yes, it says that he will provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. But Jesus, knowing what their purpose was, a man who was used by people, abused by people, rejected by people, tempted by Satan, but yet remained without any spot or any wrinkle in his life, so that when he hung on that cross, God said, that's it, no more. The old covenant's gone. No longer can be justified by laying your hand on a sheep or a goat or a dove or whatever it was. No more of those anymore. They're just a representation of a shadow of him hanging on a cross. Amen? Once and for all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, and then again in verse 1, 35 and 36, again the next day. So this is the second day. Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus walking and said, again, he says, behold the Lamb of God. And John, behold the Lamb of God. John understand. I don't know if he quite understand what Jesus was going to do, but by the Holy Spirit, as he saw on that first day, behold the Lamb of God. On that second day, behold the Lamb of God. And that's when we come to John 1, and it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. A wedding. You know, we're going to be going to a wedding someday. Did you know that? Yeah, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Did you know that one day, I don't know if there's going to be groups of tables or if this is one big table. I don't know what it's going to look like. But there's going to be a marriage supper. Amen? It says in the book of Revelation. And so now we're taking a regular group of scriptures from John chapter 2 and saying, Lord, what else could this mean? Lord, we know that you turned the water into wine. We know that you did a miracle. We know you told your mother, hey, I'm not ready for that. Woman, as we'll read, he said, woman, I'm not ready. But there was so much more, types and shadows. That third day, so we know the first day and the second day, John the Baptist saying the Lamb of God. And then on the third day, there was a wedding. See, he rose from the dead on the third day, amen? The Lamb of God was in the ground day one, day two, and day three, he rose. And because he rose, you and I are going to participate in the greatest marriage feast that you could ever imagine. Amen? Even the best cheesecake you could ever have. I don't know what we'll eat there. It's going to be amazing. You and I are going to be in a body that's like flesh and blood, like Jesus is, but yet we can walk through walls. I don't get that. Amazing, amen? But Revelations 19, 7 through 9 says, let's rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. Everybody here, let's give glory to God, amen? We're giving glory to him. We're going to be at this supper, this marriage land because of him. So we give him the glory. Glad and give him the glory to him because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Woo, it's coming someday, amen? It's coming someday. Time seems to go by slowly. But one day, time as we know it on this earth will be over. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And the new Jerusalem will come down from the sky. And we'll be caught up with the Lord to ever be with him, amen? We will forever be with the Lord then. That day is coming. It reminds me of the book of Peter, it says that people that don't know the Lord will say, hey, you've been talking about his coming for a long time. You've been saying he's coming, but where is he? I haven't seen his coming. And what was Peter's response? But those people don't realize that someday they're going to have to give an account of their life on this earth. Someday they're going to have to give an account to why they did not turn their eyes or accept or consider Jesus Christ. One day those people are going to realize, I should have considered the Lord. I should have considered him. I should have not hardened my heart. I shouldn't have been rebellious against the Lord. I had opportunities. But I decided in my own heart to mock and say, where is he? When is he coming? Amen. Aren't you glad that you didn't? You're standing here. Aren't you glad that for some reason, I don't know how, maybe the prayers of others, I think of my grandmother, you and I are here sitting saying, you know what? I know, I believe he's coming again. Hallelujah. A wedding supper. It says, let me read verse 7 again. It says, let's rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him because the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has prepared herself. Who's the bride? You and I. Amen? It was given to her, it was given the right to you and I to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. See, God cleansing you with his blood. God changing you to be able to take what used to be a crooked path in your life and now able, not perfectly, but walk with him in his righteousness. Amen? To walk with him, hopefully, in confidence. Amen? In confidence. The righteous acts of the saints. And then verse 9, it says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Amen. He's going to a third day. He rose from the dead. Day one and day two, we can see John said, the Lamb, the Lamb. The third day, a wedding feast. See, he rose from the dead on that third day, which because of that, you and I are invited to a wedding feast. Amen. You and I walking on this earth, remember, yes, I'm walking in victory, strength, and power here. But this place, I like how this, you guys, I don't know if you ever heard of Keith Green. It says, he used to say that God made the heavens and earth in 6 days, but he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. We must be living in a garbage can compared to what's going to be revealed to us then. Amen? Amen. How it gets... It's amazing. You know, the thing, as I don't live in a world where, you know, that I, in a fantasy land, meaning sometimes I think people, Christians or leaders will say, well, we can't talk too much about that because we got to live in the here and now. I'm starting to realize that as I see that, I'm much more effective in the here and now. I'm much more effective. My life is but a vapor here, it says in the Word of God. I'm here and gone, amen? I'm here and gone. So like Paul says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. So as I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, as I see the goal of the marriage supper of the Lamb before me, it makes me more resilient here. Going, this is, I'm going to give it my best shot here, God. Man, I'm only passing through here once. That's it. Only once to be passed through here. It's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. But we've talked about before, judgment is, we take judgment as a negative or bad word. But if that judge says you're not guilty, that judgment is awesome. That judgment has no fear. When we stand before him, it's going to be, welcome in, son. Come on in. You've accepted the sacrifice. You are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I have no fear of judgment now, amen? I have no fear of judgment. I thank God that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind, amen? He's told us to fear not. Amen and amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 21:2, John. Thank you, John. Then it says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, if you read, you know, if you haven't read Revelation in a while, I would encourage you at least to read those last few chapters that talks about the new heaven and earth, the new Jerusalem that'll come down from the sky. It's 1,000 miles square, 1,000 miles tall. It's got 12 gates made out of singular, each one made out of one pearl. That's a big pearl, isn't it? And it'll only be for the saints of God, for his people there. Someday, amen. If you've gotten to a certain age, you realize it goes by quick, doesn't it? We're all preparing, whether we believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, we're all preparing marriage supper of the Lamb. We really are. How long will that celebration last? Will it be a week, year, 1,000 years, 10,000 years? It wouldn't matter because it's all just the beginning. There's no time. Amen? There's no time. There is no time in heaven. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 54:5 says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. Amen? Amen. God paid a high price or dowry for you and I. You remember, it was Jacob. He had to pay a dowry for his first wife, Leah. He had to work 7 years, right? And you know the story, he didn't get the right wife. Father-in-law played a trick on him, right? So he had to work 7 more years for Rachel. So he paid 14 years, right? And so he paid a price for the dowry to get his wife. If you think of Isaac, when Abraham sent one of his servants to find a wife for Isaac, he came bearing a lot of gifts. Dowry. So for you and I, being this dowry that was paid to make us part of the bride of Christ, amen, the ultimate price, amen. Amen, bought with a price, I think of 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Where is he? In you, whom you have from God. That spirit you have, the Holy Spirit, is from God. And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Wow. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, when the enemy attacks us, does he attack us, try to attack us? We belong to God. You know, God sees those things. It's only the enemy that tries to trick us. But we belong to God. So the enemy is attacking his bride, something very precious to him, something that he gave the ultimate price for, something that he deeply loves. So when the enemy is attacking us, it's like he's attacking God. You remember when Paul was Saul and he was on his way on the road to Damascus, and he was knocked off his high horse, right? A bright light. And he said, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Well, who was he really persecuting? At that time, he was persecuting his church. His church. So when the enemy comes against us, God sees that. Jesus sees that. Amen. We are precious in his sight. God will give us the victory. Hang on. Amen. God will strengthen us. God will actually, through that thing, your confidence in him will grow stronger. Your hope in him and expectation will grow stronger as long as you don't listen to the voice of the enemy. The enemy will say, well, no, you don't belong to him. Or if you do, you barely do. You barely do today. Or whatever. Or your struggles. God doesn't hear your prayers or through your struggles. He's not there. It's a complete lie of the enemy. Actually, you're his precious bride. Amen. Wow, your precious bride. Amen. Amen. One thing I want to read to that's just, it's interesting. And before you put it up there, John, I want to talk just a second. It's going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 32 in the New King James Version. But this is interesting how Paul talks about husband and wife, the bride. He'll be talking a little bit about how the husband should love his wife or treat his wife, one sentence. And the next sentence, he'll talk about it being compared to Christ and the church. And then he'll go back to about between a husband and wife. And then he'll flip back between the church and Jesus. So let's read this together. We've got 5 more minutes. So you're right. We're not getting anywhere near past chapter 2, are we? But this is a powerful set of scriptures. Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Right? So husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Well, you know, that really takes a revelation from Christ. Not everybody got an example on how a man should treat a woman, by the way. Probably not a lot in today's world, you want to be honest? It has to be something that's this thing, shown to you through the Lord. And as you see it in brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I love the church. I can't tell you how many things I've added to my life through the saints. Things that I've seen. Things that I've observed. That I've added to my life as I've seen them model before me. Amen? Those things of like how Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. Now he went from how you are to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Now he's talking about the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Wow. Cleanse her. We know it's only the blood. But that sanctification, now we're sanctified through Christ, but there's another sanctification, which is our growth in him. Our walking on this earth. And it says we're sanctified through the washing of the word. You know, that, how does God talk to us? Amen? Isn't he always encouraging us? Isn't he always telling us that you can do it? If you're hearing the Spirit of God, not religion, or if you're reading the Word the way it is, hey, I'm in you. I'm with you. I'm leading you. I'm strengthening you. Don't give up. Don't give in. God is always encouraging us, and that washing of the water of the Word, sanctifying, growing us up in him. It lets us realize how we should be talking to other people. You know, if Jesus Christ sanctifies his church through the washing of the water of the word, I wonder how husbands should talk to their wives. Wow. How we should talk to our friends. How we should talk to our children. Did you know when we're talking to them, we're washing them with something. We could be washing them with dirty water. Or we could be washing them with the clean water of the word. Does that make sense? The washing of the water of the word, cleansing, healing, delivering, encouraging. And when we do that to other people that are close in our life, did you know it has the same effect? That's amazing. Now, a lot of us haven't done it perfectly at times, amen? It's not a perfect science where I passed the test, and here I am. I'll talk to my wife or my children or my friends perfect from now on. No. Sorry. But that washing of the word, how we talk to one another, has the same effect as the word of God as it washes over us. I know it does. There's too many scriptures that talk about that. There's too many scriptures. And he's continually washing me. He's continuing to cleanse me. He's continuing to talk to me. He's continuing to encourage me. He's continuing to help me when I said, I don't get it, Lord. I'm just not quite doing it right this week. Don't quite have the right attitude, or I don't feel like I've got purpose this week, or whatever. But he continues, if we hear him, he continues to encourage us. Amen? To wash us. Washes the lies of the enemy, and it washes the dirt of what? Of just walking on this earth. Amen? Verse 27, that he might present her, who's her? You and I, to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen? But that she should be holy and without blemish. Then he flips back to the husbands in the natural. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Wow. It's okay to love yourself, by the way. If you have a proper understanding of yourself, right, who you are in Christ, and to feel okay about yourself, don't get up every morning and say, gosh, I'm just a dirty dog. I'm just a screw up. Or I'm just or this or that. That's not what God is saying at all. Not even a little bit. Did you know he's not even thinking that a little bit? I mean, you're either washed as white as snow or you're not. Amen? I was going to say something about yellow snow, but I'm not. Some of us get up in the morning and say, gosh, I'm yellow snow. But that's not true. I know I'm trying to make it funny, and maybe not very successfully, but that's the truth. Amen? Verse 29, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Then he goes from the wife, the husband to the wife, or his husband himself, right to the church. That means that the Lord nourishes us and cherishes us. Did you hear that? Wow. Just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. They're talking about the Lord, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Now he's going back to the wife and husband, and the two shall become one flesh. This is interesting. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Can you stand up with me tonight where we run a couple minutes late on this pre-Christmas week? I'm sorry, but don't you love the Lord? Man, isn't he speaking to your heart? Man, is he speaking to your heart? Did you know he cherishes us? He cherishes us. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that you cherish us, that you love us. Lord, I ask that we would, in this holiday, Christmas, New Year's season, Lord, that we would begin, or help us to see ourselves as you see us, because we can be more confident in whatever God calls us if we see ourselves as he sees us. Lord, I want to thank you right now, Lord, that you love us and you cherish us. Lord, I thank you that you cleanse us with the washing of the water of the word, that you're always washing us with the truth of the word. Child, you belong to me. Child, wait upon me. Child, just keep going forward in me. Child, I've got great things for you. Just understand that I cherish you. Let him wash you with that word. We ask for that, Father. We ask, Lord Jesus, that we could hear you a little more clearly. Father, we ask you that we can see you a little bit more clearly this Christmas season in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we just rebuke together every lying voice of the enemy that has our ears' attention. Father, we pray that thing be broken right now in Jesus' name. And Father, release your goodness. Father, release your love in our lives in a greater capacity. We pray in Jesus' name, Father. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come forth, Father, out of our bellies like living water in Jesus' name, Father. We ask that the water would wash over us, Father, cleansing putting the dirt in the lives of the enemy away in Jesus' name. And so we declare it tonight, Father, as we belong to you as the bride of Christ, Father God, the marriage supper of the Lamb, we will be at that table someday, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you and honor you tonight. We thank you, Father God, as we belong to you, Father God, the Lamb of God who cleansed the sins of the world. We thank you, Father, that we are whiter than snow because of the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. And how we honor you tonight, Father. We thank you tonight. Father, we thank you that in different situations, wherever we are going to be this Christmas season, that we will be a blessing, Father God. What we say will be like a washing of the water of the Word. In Jesus' name, of Lord Jesus, you'll make it evident in our hearts, Father God, as we declare your goodness, as we declare grace, as we declare your love, Father God, as we declare your forgiveness to those that we're going to be around this Christmas season in Jesus' name. And so we declare it, Father, how we love you. For our children, we bless our children in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we bless our nephews and nieces in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Our parents, our grandparents, whatever the relationship is, Father, we bless them in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would help us to learn and to know how to wash with the word, Father God, over people's lives, Father God. You can do that, Lord. Lord, it doesn't matter of yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but today is a new day. Today is a new day. My mercies are new every morning. So, Father, we receive of that, and thank you that tomorrow, Father, is a new day. In Jesus' name we pray, how we love you and we honor you tonight, Father. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Father, we thank you for breaking the spirit of condemnation right now. In Jesus' name, we tell that lying spirit to shut its mouth. In Jesus' name, because I was bought with a very precious price. I've been bought. I'm not being bought. I'm not looking to be bought. I have already been bought. It has already been paid in full. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.